Okay. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him.
Good. Good evening, everybody. I can't see anyone, and I'm trusting in faith that you can hear. You don't need to see me. Okay, so we are continuing in our series on the number 40. I think there was a big kind of plan behind it. I can't recall exactly what it is at the moment. But we're going to continue tonight, obviously, by talking about Jesus's 40 days in the desert, where he was tested by God or tempted by the devil, however you like to view it. Now, I wonder if you've ever come across the acronym called HALT. So H-A-L-T. This is normally the point at which I would say, anyone come across it? And I'd see nodding heads or heads shaking, but I've just got a blank iPhone. So we'll go with some of you don't know what that is. And so it's just this thing that says, actually, when you are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Let me say it again. Hungry, angry, also known as hangry, lonely, or tired. Be on your guard, because you're more likely to give in to temptation and to give in to your flesh and to fall, basically. And I know for me, I found it really a really helpful thing to remember, kind of when I am hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. It's kind of like this internal, let's be on my guard even more, perhaps. So looking at our passage in Matthew, so if you've got it in front of you, and we're going to be looking down at it. So as Claire mentioned earlier on, so just before Jesus is led into the desert, Jesus is baptized, and you hear the voice from heaven, God the Father saying, "This is my Son whom I love, in him I am well pleased." And the very, very next line, so verse 1 of chapter 4, it says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. Now, the Greek for desert could be desert, or it could be a deserted or desolate place, a solitary place, a lonely place, a wilderness. They're all interchangeable words, but with the sole purpose of being tempted by the devil or tested by God. And we read in verse 2, have a look, that after 40 days and 40 nights, when Jesus was hungry, 40 days of not eating, I would be beyond hungry, and possibly lonely, and possibly tired, the enemy pounced with three separate temptations. Now, on the paper, the devil's timing was absolutely perfect. It was hitting Jesus when he was at his weakest. Look at verse 3. So the enemy says, turn this stone into bread. So Satan is testing Jesus with the most basic need, that being food. And Jesus is given the opportunity to use his supernatural power for his own provision to satisfy his literal appetite. I don't know about you, but I'd be tempted to do it if I hadn't eaten for 20 minutes, never mind 40 days or 40 nights. And look, this isn't something that's beyond Jesus' control. We see later on, he feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This is something that Jesus easily could have done. Because it's about the bread, but actually it's also not about the bread. See, at his heart, this questions God's provision and care for Jesus' son. The temptation to be independent from the Father and walk outside of his will. Now, you would understand if Jesus made a nice roll out of a stone at this point. He was hungry. But instead, his response is one from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. And he says it in verse 4 of Matthew. And he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He's reminding us that the Israelites were wandering in the desert for a long, long time, more than 40 days and more than 40 nights. And yet how different their wilderness experiences would be between the Israelites and Jesus. Jesus is saying in verse 4 that life is run by more than bread and my appetites and my desires. Following God is the reason that makes me live. Jesus says later on in John chapter 4, verse 34, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me. So even when Jesus was physically weak, he knew precisely what to say yes to, precisely what to say no to, and how to trust the Father. See, actually, maybe the testing for Jesus didn't come at a time when he was most weak, but came at a time when he was most strong. Physically weak, but spiritually strong. And the reason, I'll say, are two things. Jesus' spiritual practices and the power of the Spirit. So notice after 40 days of prayer and fasting and solitude, being by himself, and of a life of devouring scripture, Jesus could take on the enemy and come away unscathed. So when the enemy takes Jesus to the highest point of the temple in Jerusalem, which had a massive drop into the Kidron Valley below in verse 5, the enemy twists Psalm 91 and says, if you're the son of God, verse 6, if you're the son of God, throw yourself down. God ain't going to let you suffer. Try and see, look, the angels will catch you. Now, look, there's no indication that the enemy saying that to Jesus and Jesus getting involved in that would somehow increase his popularity. It's actually an attempt for Jesus to control God rather than follow his lead, for Jesus to be in the driving seat rather than God himself. And Jesus knew that this wasn't the path that the Father had for him. And look, that's why he responds in verse 7. Don't test God. A direct quote from Deuteronomy 6:16, the very thing the Israelites were rebuked for doing, for testing God. Jesus saying, don't test God. See, the Israelites learned the hard way. But notice, not just for this temptation, but the other two temptations as well. Every single time Jesus' comeback, the thing that he stands on is scripture. That is the weapon that he used to defeat the enemy. So not only for us does God's word allow us to understand what God's will and his direction is in the first place, but it also acts as a weapon in times of testing and temptation. See, church, if we want to live the life of Jesus, we don't just need to listen to his teaching, but we need to look at how he lived his life. There's some guy called Cromer, place in North Norfolk, but also the man who writes books. And he says this, if you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. And look, the lifestyle of Jesus, as displayed here in the temptations of Jesus, was one full of spiritual disciplines. Now, I don't know if there's a little heart sink for you that you thought, oh, disciplines, yeah, I'm not a biggest fan of spiritual disciplines. Or maybe you think they're an optional extra of being a follower of Jesus. Look at this passage. Jesus doesn't cut corners because he's the Messiah. Actually, he provides a blueprint for how we as followers of Jesus can stand strong in the face of temptation and of trial. And when we're in a wilderness ourselves, look at his spiritual practices, even in these few verses. Jesus was so deeply rooted in scripture. Now, I was thinking as I was looking at this passage, if that was me, if I was Jesus and the enemy came with the same temptations, I wonder what the verses from scripture I would quote. What are the things that would come to mind for me? What were the things that would come to mind for you? I wonder if you'd actually struggle with that or if it would come quite easily. See, I know for me, I've got like a brain of a sieve and not very good retention span, except when it comes to song lyrics. For some reason, name a subject, a word, I can tell you a song about it. But actually, does my encyclopedia knowledge for song lyrics, does that actually apply to scripture? Do I have that recollection when it comes to scripture in a way that I do with song lyrics? Probably not, unless it's a Jesus song, and then I do. You know what? Knowing scripture in and of itself actually isn't enough. Jesus proved that he could quote scripture. But it's more than that. You can see from what Jesus does as well as what he says that scripture has taken root deep in his heart. And so when he's saying the words from scripture, he's also believing it, and it's causing him to act a different way. So the spiritual practice of knowing scripture, what else? Solitude. Jesus intentionally chose time away from friends and from the crowds that were going to come. It's something that Jesus done throughout his ministry. Someone else says this: we simply can't maintain a radical God-centeredness under an unbroken barrage of human interaction. That we need time away from people with the Father. And that's what Jesus sought out here, and he sought out time and time again. And what else? Fasting, 40 days. We do a week of prayer and fasting twice a year. 40 days, Jesus was on one, fasting, demonstrating that he wasn't enslaved to anything but God. And look, it brings about change. Jesus had a superior appetite for God and the things of God. See, church, our temptations aren't going to be the same as the ones that were presented to Jesus here, but the weapons that we have to fight those temptations are the same. We have the word, we have prayer, we have fasting, we have solitude, time alone with the Father. And what else? We read on verse 8, the devil doesn't give up. Last trick he has up his sleeve. He takes Jesus to the top of the mountain, probably looking out over a stunning view. And he says, all of this is yours. And all you've got to do is bow down and worship me. Verse 9, Jesus is being offered a pain-free shortcut. You can rule in power over all of this, but you wouldn't have to go through the cross. Just abandon your loyalty to the Father and worship me. And what does Jesus say? Verse 10, his response, again, a direct quote from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13. He says, away from me, Satan. He don't even entertain the idea. He don't even just think, power but no pain, no cross. There's none of that. Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. What a temptation he was given there. Avoid the suffering. Take the easy way out. I wonder if you can relate to that. And Jesus at no point says, don't make me choose. Jesus didn't try to escape. He chose to stand and to fight and to say, away from me, Satan. Jesus knew the path to power and glory was only ever going to be through the cross, in line with the Father's will, with the one alone who's to be worshipped. And if you were to read this passage, Matthew chapter 4, in Luke actually chapter 4, that's helpful. Luke's recording of this temptation, he starts off by saying in Luke 4 verse 2 that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit when he was led out into the wilderness. So Matthew says about the Holy Spirit leading Jesus. Luke says about Jesus being full of the Spirit post-baptism, being taken out into the wilderness to fight these temptations. So notice it's in Jesus's humanity that the Spirit's power helped Jesus to endure all that he faced. Not just in the wilderness, but in the end at the cross. Full of the Spirit. And that's the same Holy Spirit that is offered to you and to me. See, with God's help, Jesus wasn't powerless to fight the fight against temptation, to stand firm in the place of wilderness. And you and I too, we're not powerless. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he, that is God, has given us power. He's given us everything that we need to live a godly life. The Holy Spirit gives us strength and self-control and courage to be a holy and godly people. See, guys, we're in like a proper spiritual battle. You may be sat around your house and it maybe feels far from that at the moment. But look at verse 11. What Jesus went through, angels had to come and administer to him. That was a battle, all right. It's a proper battle. And notice the difference between the battle that Jesus has in the wilderness around temptation and Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. Slightly different outcomes, right? Each time Jesus comes back and says, you know what, this is not the type of Messiah I am going to be. And he stands firm. He goes toe-to-toe with the enemy and he comes out the other side victorious after 40 undistracted days, fasting and praying, knowing scripture and doing it all in the power of the Holy Spirit. Physically weak, spiritually strong. See, the Garden of Eden had dire consequences for humanity, but here in the wilderness, there is hope. You know, if I'm to grow spiritually, if you're to grow spiritually, we've got to expect that temptations are going to come thick and fast, day after day after day. And more than that, that there's going to be times in the wilderness for us. Claire asked us earlier, what are your temptations? You know what they are. You know the temptations that you dare not tell anybody else because you feel guilty about it. You feel ashamed about it. You also know the temptations that you have that you write off as not being temptations. So that's not a temptation. That's just life. That's just the way it is. Church, we're not at the mercy of our flesh. Jesus has given us that blueprint. Let me say to you again, if you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. And that's a lifestyle that looks physically weak, but spiritually strong. A lifestyle where our spiritual practices are at the very heart of our day-to-day life. Let me ask you this, actually. The start of the summer, we encouraged you to pick a spiritual practice if you were around to do for 40 days. If you picked one, let me ask you, how is it going? Or maybe the very thought someone's suggesting to you that you pick a spiritual practice to do for 40 days caused something to rise within you. I wonder, what's that about? Jesus had a lifestyle where spiritual practices, even for the Son of God, were at the heart of his life. And he had a lifestyle that was led and empowered by the same Spirit that is living in you and living in me tonight. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And so tonight, whether you're in the wilderness or not, whether temptation is coming thick and fast or not, whether you're winning or you're losing, 1 Peter 5:8 says the enemy, the same enemy that went toe-to-toe with Jesus and lost, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom to devour. Are you going to cave in? Are you going to be the one that he eats? Or are you going to do what James 4:7 says? And says, submit yourselves to God, stand firm, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that not just in the wilderness, but at the cross, you went toe to toe with the enemy and you won. Thank you, Jesus, that you knew the type of Messiah you was going to be and you wouldn't be swayed from it. You wouldn't be persuaded away from it. You wouldn't be steered in a different direction, that you stood firm. And thank you, in a moment of such physical weakness, you were spiritually strong. And I thank you for really the blueprint and the example that you give to us tonight. That whether we're facing temptation or we're in the wilderness and it's a really tough place, that you cause us to dig deep in the power of the Spirit that lives within us. And with the resources that you give us, your word and many other practices and disciplines, Father, that, yeah, to our shame, I guess, that we don't treat as we should. And thank you for the promise, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that if we stand firm, we can resist the devil and he'll flee from us, that we're not at the mercy of our flesh, we're not at the mercy of the world, and we're not at the mercy of the devil. God, I pray you take something of tonight and seal it into our hearts, into our spirits, into our minds, and that it would bear fruit in Jesus' name.